Oh, may the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Change direction. That passage that Bracken read from Luke 24, there are so many things there that are fascinating and remarkable. Gives us such insight into things like Eucharist and scriptures and all that stuff. But one of the things that he read there at the end is that after these ones who were on the road to Emmaus and Jesus was with them and he came to them in a different form. They didn't recognize him. Jesus often comes to us in different forms. That's one of the problems that Christians have sometimes is they'll pray for the Lord to do something, for there to be a move of God. And when God moves and it's not a way that they're familiar with, then they reject it. He's creative. When he was in the last chapter of John, and they were fishing, couldn't catch fish, like that had happened once before, 3.5 years earlier, and there's somebody on the shore cooking fish, cooking breakfast, and he cries out to them what to do to catch fish. And even though he told them the same thing that he had told them 3.5 years earlier, cast your net on the right side, and they caught all this fish, they didn't recognize him. He didn't look the same to them. But when they caught the big haul of fish, John looked at Peter because he understood God's ways. And he said, it's the Lord. And he knew he was doing that for Peter, reaffirming Peter's call in light of the struggle that Peter was having, having fallen, having denied Christ 3 times publicly. I love that about John, is that John didn't recognize Jesus in one way, but then recognized Jesus in another way. Oh, that's got to be the Lord. I believe that God's raising up a generation of people where, not just age-wise, but a generation that covers all the ages, where in this season called the Holy Spirit, it says the Holy Spirit is like the wind. He moves where he wants to, and he does what he wants to do. And what happens to us in the West, there's nothing wrong with systematic theology, but we can use systematic theology, it can become like a curse where we force the Lord to fit in a certain thing and he doesn't, then we reject it. Now, the Lord's not the God of chaos, though he can cut holes through the door, let people cut holes through roofs and stuff, but he just doesn't, this is going to be a generation that just recognizes it's the Lord, even if it's different than what they've known before. And that'll give the Holy Spirit permission to do what the Holy Spirit wants to do. Amen? Amen. So in that chapter in Luke 24, we know that Jesus on that day of resurrection had revealed himself to Mary Magdalene first, and then to some of the women on the road, and then he revealed himself to John. So Mary Magdalene, the one who 7 demons had been cast out of, she's the one who wasted her life on Jesus. She's the one who Jesus said, you're forgiven more, you love more, who loved him in such profound ways that he revealed himself to her first in the resurrection, not Peter or John or his mother. This person had such passion for him. To John, he revealed himself to John, the beloved who had laid his head on the breast of Christ, you know, just a few days before, and referred to himself as John, the one whom the Lord's always loving, who knew him in a way at this point that others didn't. He could recognize him, even though he didn't look the same. But for Peter, they mentioned the Lord's revealed himself and to Simon. In Luke 24, it mentions the fact, oh yeah, by the way, Jesus also revealed himself specifically to Simon. So when Jesus in John 22 says, you know, cast the net, he reaffirms Peter's call, the whole conversation, you know, do you love me three times and feed my lambs, tend my sheep, all that. But that wasn't Jesus' first move in terms of ministering to Peter in his brokenness and his shame and his guilt and humiliation. I love that John 22 scripture because Jesus basically is saying to Peter, who had told Jesus the first time that whole net thing happened, he said, Lord, you depart from me, for I'm a sinful man. And Jesus looks at him and says, Simon, looks at him particularly, looks at him and says, Simon, I'm going to make you a fisher of men. As if he's saying, you're being a sinful man is not a big shocker to me, but I know your heart and I can do something with you. And I'm going to make you a fisher of men. And I'm sure that when Jesus did that thing in John 22 and they kept the catch again, and John remembered, that's got to be the Lord because he's saying something to you. And then through their conversation is that I'm not going to depart from you. And I still want to use you to feed the sheep, tend the lambs, and all those things. I know that you love me, even though it's imperfect love. Jesus comes to us and reveals himself to us. He reveals himself to those who just love him with all their heart, who are so passionate and they're getting it right. Like John got it right. When he saw the empty tomb, before he ever saw Jesus, he believed. He was the only one of the disciples who did. So believers, those who are just believing, those who are intimate, he reveals himself to them. Those who are passionate for him and have not blown it, he reveals himself to them. But to those who have a heart for him and yet have blown it, he reveals himself to them. That's how he restores us. That's how he changes us. Remember, I've been saying that God changes us with favor. He doesn't change us by condemning us with our failures. He changes us by luring us with his favor. And so Jesus coming to us, revealing himself to us, isn't just a reward for those who are doing good. He reveals himself to those whom he loves. Period. And so if you've been in a situation or you've done something and you don't feel like you deserve his presence, that's no way God can still use you, or there's still, that's a lie from the devil. Yeah. And just ask the Lord to come to you and reveal himself to you in a new way. And he will. He just does. Now be prepared. It may not look like it did the last time. But favor is a multicolored tunic, isn't it? And the comings of Christ to us are multicolored in that they look different a lot of times. But be sure that if you've asked, he'll come. As a matter of fact, he'll come even if you don't ask. And he comes to affirm you. He comes to celebrate you. He comes to celebrate your relationship with him. He comes to let you know that he still believes in you. Nothing's changed that way. Amen? Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.